For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. The big investigation into who was in that racist photo in Ralph Northam's yearbook kind of turned up a big nothing burger with no real answers. We'll have some reaction to that. The Augusta County Board of Supervisors rejects a big solar project by one vote. And the Presidential Ideas Festival continues in Charlottesville. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, May 23rd. Virginians were waiting for news from the investigation of the Eastern Virginia Medical School into the blackface photo that appeared on Governor Ralph Northam's yearbook page. But reaction to the investigation, which was inconclusive, was muted. But reaction to the inconclusive investigation was relatively muted, Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Who were the guys in that infamous blackface photo on Governor Ralph Northam's medical school yearbook? And how did that photo end up on Northam's page? None of those questions were answered by the Eastern Virginia Medical School's investigation, and that's a conclusion that Stephen Farnsworth at the University of Mary Washington says is probably the best possible outcome for the medical school and its many powerful and wealthy graduates.
Nobody wants to be identified as the blackface guy. Nobody wants to be identified as the guy in the Klan robe. And so the alumni of this medical school all benefit from the ambiguity of this report.
The report did nothing to harm Governor Ralph Northam's already tenuous position as embattled chief executive, but Quentin Kidd of Christopher Newport University says it also did nothing to help him.
This scandal looms over him as a shadow, and that's not going to change as a result of this investigation, and I think that's unfortunate. I was hopeful that some real concrete questions could get answered as a result of this, and unfortunately, that isn't happening.
Northam first acknowledged he was either the guy in the blackface photo or the guy in the KKK robe, but he later backtracked and changed his story. Ever since then, he's been clinging to power, mainly because Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax is facing multiple allegations of sexual assault. I'm Michael Pope.
A random sampling of state residents said Wednesday that they're more concerned about other issues such as jobs. Virginia Republicans say Northam still owes the public answers about how that photo appeared in on his yearbook page. House Majority Leader Todd Gilbert, who represents Page and Shenandoah counties, said in a statement that the report did not provide many answers or substantive proof that Northam is not in the picture. Gilbert also said he was concerned that leaders at the school were aware of the photo while Northam was running for office, but did not notify the public. The Augusta County Board of Supervisors rejected a big solar project Wednesday night by one vote. The Newsleader reports the board voted 4-3 to deny a special use permit for a 940-acre solar facility project that would have been constructed in Stewart Straft and Lyndhurst. The decision follows months of debate on how the project may impact the county and its residents. Developer Community Energy had predicted the project would create hundreds of temporary construction jobs and up to $8 million in tax revenue over 35 years. County officials worried the solar project would stifle other more lucrative industrial development in the area. The Presidential Ideas Festival continues in Charlottesville, and on Wednesday, scholars from UVA and elsewhere formed a panel to talk about a pressing issue, race in America and in U.S. politics. WMRA's Marguerite Gallerini reports.
With events such as August 12, 2017 in Charlottesville and the conversation around racism and racial inequality raging nationally, the Presidential Ideas Festival had to address the issue of race in America. Here's Larisha Hawkins, who holds joint appointments in politics and religious studies at UVA, talking about the focus on the Obama presidency.
As a political scientist, I find it odd that I am never asked previously about race relations during Bush's administration or during Clinton's administration. Race and the presidency always collide and coalesce. And I think it's important to shift our questioning, like how did Nixon's benign neglect affect race relations in the U.S., right?
The panel also discussed reparations for slavery. Here's rabbi and former U.S. ambassador at large for religious freedom, David Saperstein.
If you count the 2 million veterans at the end of World War II and their families, it is the same proportion of America that African Americans are today. And the GI Bill and the FHA loan programs lifted to the middle class almost that entire segment of the country. It really can be done if we have the moral vision and the political will to do it.
For WMRA News, I am Marguerite Gallerini.
The counties of Louisa and Madison have joined a number of Virginia localities in taking legal action against the pharmaceutical industry over its role in the prescription opioid crisis. The Daily Progress reports the defendants in the civil lawsuits filed earlier this month include Purdue Pharma, McKesson Corporation, Cardinal Health, and Walgreens Boots Alliance, among others. According to the complaints, drug overdoses claimed in 2017 the lives of an average of 17 people per 100,000 in Louisa and nearly 19 per 100,000 people in Madison. The lawsuit is seeking $50 million in damages. An invasive species of fish has been found for the first time in the Shenandoah Valley. WHSV reports that biologists confirmed the presence of northern snakehead in Lake Frederick in Frederick County on May 16th. According to the Virginia Department of Game and Inland Fisheries, the exotic species was first discovered in Virginia in the Potomac River in 2004. Since that time, they've been discovered in 9 additional bodies of water, including Lake Anna, Lakeview Reservoir, the Rappahannock River, and Lake Burke. Now it's been confirmed for the first time in the Shenandoah River drainage system. Exotic species such as snakeheads can feed on or compete with native fish and transmit parasites and diseases to native wildlife. Well, if you're hitting the road this Memorial Day weekend, you will have plenty of company. AAA predicts that nearly 2 million Virginians will travel the roads this weekend, a 3.6% increase over last year. Lower gas prices could fuel the increased travel. The average price for a gallon of gas in Virginia on Monday was $2.85. That's 7 cents less than a year ago, according to AAA. The state's gas prices are the 11th lowest in the country. Jesse Matthew Jr., who abducted and killed 2 Virginia college students 5 years apart, was transferred to a new prison this week so he can receive medical treatment for cancer. Matthew, now 37, is serving multiple life sentences for the 2009 murder of 20-year-old Virginia Tech student Morgan Harrington and the 2014 murder of 18-year-old University of Virginia student Hannah Graham. Matthew pleaded guilty in 2016 to both killings. A spokeswoman for the Virginia Department of Corrections confirmed that Matthew was transferred Monday from the Red Onion State Prison in Wise County to Sussex State Prison. Finally today, Virginia's Department of Corrections spends more than $1 billion each year to operate 41 prisons where it holds about 30,000 inmates. Another 7,000 are kept in regional jails, and 13,000 Virginia prisoners are freed annually after serving their sentences, but nearly 1 in 4 of them will be back after committing new crimes. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman reports on who's getting out and which inmates are least likely to return.
26 years ago, Trevor Jackson was selling drugs, making good money for an 18-year-old, when a fellow dealer was killed. Jackson was charged with his murder and sent to prison.
Actually, I hadn't killed anybody, but I was selling drugs. You know, I went in, a young kid. Officer taught me how to shave. I hadn't grown facial hair yet.
He says he had an alibi, something his public defender ignored. And while he knew who had actually committed the crime, he refused to tell police.
Snitching, as defined in urban America, would be you and I break the law, you get away, I get caught, and I give you up. And I just was a kid. If I'll be honest, I don't think anybody thought they would do what they did to me.
What they did was to give him a life sentence. But Jackson is not sorry to have done time.
I'd have went to prison anyway or died. Prison is where God got my attention at. So I didn't come out bitter. My plea wasn't even that I'm innocent, because I was guilty of something.
His plea was for a second chance, arguing he'd spent his time in prison preparing to be a productive member of society.
I had taken every program in the Department of Corrections. I began to teach many of them. I was the chairman of the Offender Advisory Committee. You know, we met with the warden and staff. I was also the senior editor of the Buckingham Vision at this time.
He applied for parole and was released in January of 2018, spending the next year caring for his father, who recently died of Alzheimer's disease. He got his first driver's license, became a preacher, plans to get married, and counsels young men to reject violence and keep cool.
Like, you don't have to respond to everything that's said on social media as if it challenges your manhood or your core existence.
The state has also started freeing people who were not deemed eligible by previous parole boards. In 1982, the legislature passed a bill called the Three Strikes Law. The idea was to stop someone who committed a murder, rape, or robbery, was paroled only to commit another serious crime, get locked up, and released again. But what if someone committed a series of robberies before ever getting caught? That's what Keith Fleming and some of his buddies did when he was 18. His friends were freed after a short stay in prison. But Fleming did 33 years.
I had a public defender. They had parents, and their parents did what they had to do to get them out. They went home within a year and a half.
Following an award-winning story about his case in the Virginian Pilot, Charlottesville attorney April Wimberly took his case, and the parole board agreed that the three strikes rule should only apply if someone had served time in prison between each of three felonies. Now 56, Fleming works in a chicken processing plant, volunteers at the food bank, and is trying to prevent others from ending up in prison.
I had three guys under 13 and 14 that have been getting in trouble, being hard-headed. One of them got an ankle bracelet on, and I just be a big brother to them, you know, and I tell them, man, it ain't got to be that way. You know, they act like tough guys, but they coming around, they respect me.
The new interpretation of three strikes means about 200 others are now eligible for early release. And how often do those freed on parole commit another crime? Adrian Bennett says it's 1% of the time. I'm Sandy Houseman.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicki. We'll have the final part of that series on Second Chance Month tomorrow. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Thursday.